Prologue. The British army had outmaneuvered the French and forced them into battle at Talavera before they could rally all of their forces together. Fearing the loss of the Spanish capital, the puppet King Joseph launched wave after wave against strong British positions and watched as the French armies were smashed. Talavera had been a momentous victory for the British and their allies. It was proof the dominant French armies could be beaten, and that the British and Spanish troops were up to the task. Yet it was far from the decisive blow that would be needed to drive the French from Spain. Casualties had been similar on both sides, and the Marshal Soult is rapidly approaching from the north with 50,000 fresh troops, far more than Wellesley realizes. Talavera was the morale boost the Allies needed, but it is now time for them to take stock and ensure their victory was not for nothing. At home, it seemed as though the British would single-handedly defeat the French in Spain, but to those on the Iberian Peninsula it was a very different story. The support of the Spanish armies and irregular forces were vital, and the newly retrained Portuguese would be needed to plug many holes. The battle had also proven the importance of communication and the value of depriving the enemy of it. After a humbling defeat, the French will be eager to seek revenge and prove once and for all that their emperor has claim to all of Europe, and will be willing and able to prove it in the field of battle. The British position in Spain hangs in the balance as the French amass their forces to encircle Wellington and trap him in Spain. Chapter 1. 3rd of August, 1809. Craven covered his mouth with his handkerchief as he made his way through the wounded. He was at a makeshift hospital in the town of Talavera. Bloodied and incapacitated soldiers lay scattered in every direction. Those that could not be accommodated inside houses and other shelters were left out on the street. The smell was awful, but he pressed on, with Paget, Charlie, and Moxie following close behind him.
"How can they be treated like this?"
Paget was visibly disgusted, as he could see few were getting any kind of treatment. They not only lacked for care and attention, but even water, as dry lips and cracked skin could be seen on the faces of many desperate soldiers who barely had the energy to look up at them. The excitement and celebration of victory had already long worn off for these troops. Craven stopped as he reached the main road, expecting to find a clear path, only to find it was littered with more of the wounded. The paths were barely wide enough to walk through.
"My God, how many are there?"
Paget asked. "Too many, far too many," Charlie replied solemnly.
"There has to be thousands here."
"Yes," replied Craven grimly, as he continued to lead them on. They soon reached the villa they had been aiming for and went inside, where they found 6 soldiers convalescing. They had no words, but they looked around longingly, as if hoping to find something they had lost.
"He's upstairs," declared
a woman in a thick but friendly Irish accent. It was such an incongruous sound to their ears. Many Irishmen filled the ranks of the army, but they rarely heard from one of their women. She was dressed as a nurse, and her apron was covered with blood, both fresh and dried, but she seemed unbothered by it. Her huge red curls of hair were tied back as she went about her work as if it were any other day. She seemed to be unbothered by the horrific scenes that drew appalled reactions from Craven and the others.
"You know who I'm looking for?" Craven asked. "The sergeant said you'd be coming," she replied.
As if insulted, he needed to question her.
"Well, go on, you're in the way."
She gestured for them to move on. Craven fumbled a little at the encounter, a strong-willed Irish woman being the last thing he expected to encounter. Though it was clearly more than that to Craven, for the experience seemed to bring back memories for the captain he had long forgotten during his service in the woman's home country.
"Well, go on, don't leave him waiting," she pressed.
Craven snapped out of it as Paget led the way up a narrow stair. He checked every room to find there was not one empty. Bloodied redcoats occupied them all. Finally, he found a balcony and could see a sergeant's tunic slung over a chair.